Everybody, welcome back to Just for a Podcast, hosted by me, Ivy.
And me, Lauren.
Okay, we got a lot to catch up on. How have you been?
I've been good. Oh, you guys, Ivy got me the best birthday present ever. She got me the gray East High hoodie, and I've literally worn it like every day since she sent it.
And I ordered one for myself as well. It is in the mail currently.
I can't wait to twin.
Oh, can't wait to twin. We have a lot of surprises up our sleeves that you all will find out in the months to come.
Yes. Get ready.
In other news, Sabrina Carpenter is going to be on Broadway. My girl.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, Ivy loves Sabrina, and I love Mean Girls on Broadway, which she's going to star in, so if you see us in New York, don't say anything.
Mind your business. No, just kidding. If you do see us, say hi.
Yeah. You haven't seen the show, have you?
No, girl, Anastasia's the only thing I've actually seen on Broadway.
Oh my god.
Everything else I've seen is just like an off-Broadway production.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh my god, you have to see it. Because I went to previews, and then I went after previews with my friend Luke, and you're going to be blown away when you see it.
I haven't seen her in, oh my god, it's been like, oh, it's been 2 years. It's been almost three, this year will be 3 years since I've seen her, so like, yes, I'm going.
Yeah, we're definitely going.
Yes. Bigger news, we got the season 2 musical.
Oh yeah, it's Beauty and the Beast. Woo!
Just as big of a fan I am of Sabrina Carpenter, Lauren is of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my god, I am so excited. Oh, speaking of that, so I love all versions of Beauty and the Beast, but especially the musical because of Susan Egan, who played the original Belle on Broadway. And so, like, I tweeted this video that of her singing Home from the musical. And I was like, oh, Susan Egan should, like, do a cameo on season 2 since they're doing Beauty and the Beast. And she responded to it. And then Tim liked it. So I'm just saying, if that happens, that's kind of us.
Everybody, thank Lauren in advance.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, says Lauren. But we did a little bit of a fun thing for ourselves, and we made our own casting of just who we would like to see in our roles. So do you want to go through yours?
You go through yours.
Okay. Mine has a little bit of surprises. I have Nini as Belle, and I know a lot of people say Gina as Belle, which, yes, I see it. But I just feel like same thing as her with Gabriella. I just feel like she's too confident to play timid.
Yeah.
For Plumet, that's who I have Gina as. Gaston, I have EJ, because unlike Troy, I think EJ actually fits Gaston. I have Big Red as LeFou.
Me too. I think that was the perfect casting.
Lumiere, everybody's gonna fight me on this, I swear. I have Ricky as Lumiere. And here's why. Because I have Seb as Cogsworth. And
I have Seb as Cogsworth too.
I would love to see just Ricky and Seb bantering throughout the show. I think that would be hilarious. Madame Garderobe is Ashlyn. She's got those pipes. Mrs. Potts, if she were to do the production, I said Courtney. Chip as just an ensemble member. And yes, y'all, I know I skipped over Beast because T, here's just a little, I don't know, just a scenario I built up in my head. I have Beast as a new cast member that we get introduced to in season 2. And Ricky and EJ are mad because there's a new guy's coming in stealing their role, and he's gonna play opposite of Nini. And now Ricky and EJ are gonna have this little camaraderie against whoever this new man is coming in.
That's some tea. You really think that'll happen?
No. No, I don't.
It's like I want it to happen, but also I want to see more of the characters we have, more of their development.
Yeah.
But I would love to see that drama.
I would love to see that drama, and Miss Jen would be living for it.
Yeah, mine's basically the same, except I really just don't know who Beast would be.
I'm casting myself as the Enchantress. Tim Federle hit me up.
I'll cast myself as... what's Lumiere's woman's name? You know, she's a little duster.
Plumette?
Yes. That's me. You could be Enchantress. I'll be Plumette and use my high school French.
Oh, I took Spanish, and honestly, I couldn't tell you a thing about it.
Isn't that basic high school, though?
I can read it. I don't think I can speak it. I can pronounce things if I am reading it, but, like, if I were to try to have a conversation with somebody, whew.
Yeah.
Would not be good.
I said no.
Okay, you're casting.
But, yeah, anyways, as you can tell, we're super excited. So we would love to hear your guys' castings. If you have a list, tweet us at Just For A Podcast.
What's yours? Who all do you have?
I said it was like basically yours, but I didn't really have I don't have a set one because I just kept going back and forth. Like, I would love to see Nini as Belle, but also I would love to see Courtney as Belle.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, right? And then Miss Jen said she has big plans for Courtney.
That'd be good. Dang. Wow. There's so many options. They're all so talented. Like, oh my God, could you imagine Ashlyn as Belle?
Oh my God, stop. Well, you would literally cry.
I would cry for her.
I also would low-key want to see Ricky as Gaston with Big Red as LeFou. Like,
oh my God. Oh, wait. Okay, so in this episode, in What Team, we get to hear Natalie Bagley sing for the first time. Like, could Natalie Bagley still do stage production but also be in the production?
Please. My stage manager in high school, they're one of my best friends. They were stage manager, but they also sang in, like, the little productions we had. So that could be a possibility.
Okay, so jumping into the episode, the behind the scenes notes for this were discussing how during the production of True Justice and Songs in Our Key, Dara Renee injured her leg, and Larry Saperstein learned the entire choreography in 15 minutes and hopped in her place.
We love a dance king.
Talent. We have Miss Casey Stroh's cameo.
Miss Martha Cox.
Yes. Tim said that he had, like, more requests for her than anybody else.
That's crazy, but I love that.
I know.
She's so iconic.
And, okay, so you know the last episode when we were talking about... I said that Dara's Born to be Brave scenes were filmed after she was injured in this episode. I think that could have happened because in the behind-the-scenes recap of the last episode when they were recapping, like, the whole season, it looked like the last scene that they shot for this for the season was in this episode.
Yeah, in the basement.
Yeah, in Big Red's basement. So, I mean, they must not have filmed in, like, sequential order.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, typical TV movie, too.
Yeah.
So that could be right.
Okay, so we'll hop in with an episode synopsis. After being put on a temporary suspension, Miss Jen is forced to leave Carlos in charge of the show. Rehearsal turns into a disaster when Carlos lets it slip that Miss Jen could lose her job, bringing the cast together to help save her job and the show. What's your first note?
Mine is just how Frankie walks into Miss Jen's office, and that's, we get immediately, like, we see that Principal Gutierrez is giving her a box to pack up her stuff, which was kind of premature.
Also, I wrote, he gave her that tiny box to pack up, like, her whole office. He was like, you might want this box.
Yeah, her office is, like, as big as my room.
Her office is the size of literally any kind of high up, like, teacher's office would be. And he gives her this tiny box to pack up her things.
He is not happy with her. No. He's so petty.
So the cast are in the auditorium taking the cover photo for their playbills, and their costumes are how they could not get much closer.
Yeah, they're spot on.
Ricky in that wig.
When he keeps doing the like hair flip.
Oh no. I remember seeing the promo photos for them doing this scene before the episode came out, and I was like, if they make him wear that wig throughout the entire production.
Oh, I would have been so mad if they made him do that.
I was like, we want the curls. Give us the curl.
I feel like the reaction when he comes out and Nini and Courtney see him in the wig, I feel like that was pure Olivia and Dara just laughter.
Oh, like, I would have been the same way. I feel that. And when Gina comes out looking like Miss Taylor McKessie, killing it.
She looks so good.
She high-fives Ricky, and they're kind of talking, and Nini is clocking all this.
Yeah, Nini totally senses a spark between them, and so did we.
And then we get the cute moment with Seb coming out.
In his Sharpay ensemble.
Yes, and at first you think that he's uncomfortable and Carlos is asking him if he's okay.
Yeah, and then Seb is like, I'm home.
I'm home. It was precious.
He's so cute. He's killing that, what, like, pink stripe on his face?
Oh, and then it goes all the way up to his hair. It looks so good. And EJ is mad at Gina.
Oh, yeah, wait. Did you notice that, like, EJ's pants are too big for him?
They're so baggy, and I'm like, he's a pretty tall dude. Like, what size are these pants?
I know. I didn't notice it. I only noticed it when I just rewatched it, how, like, Courtney's trying to make it fit him better, and then when they're jumping, he's like, it's like falling off of him.
I also love how I can relate to Big Red in this episode where he's doing the photography and he says that he was in photography club for what, like a month in middle school or something.
Yeah, when he said that line, I immediately thought of you.
For those of you that don't know, I am a digital photography major currently in school.
She is. I like when he's like at the end of his little interview, he goes click.
The camera looks as big as his head.
I know. I like how you can relate to Big Red in that scene, and I feel like I can relate to Courtney when she, right before they take the photo, and then she's, like, fixing EJ, and then she accidentally gets in the photo, and she's like, I'm sorry, y'all. I feel like that was always me.
Then we have Carlos pulling a very Lauren's Family-esque phone call, calling Miss Jen in the school while they're both in the school.
Wait, we forgot to talk about them jumping.
Oh, they could not get the timing of that photo right.
No, it was a mess. My favorite line is when Ricky goes, nah, man, you need some new words. When Big Red was trying to tell them, like, on three or after three.
And Carlos said that they were taking a five, and Ricky said, is that on five or after five?
There's some funny lines in this show.
Honestly. I don't like that people underestimated this show, and were already counting it out before it even started.
I know, but it's like I said before, like, I've talked about this. It's how we think that it's because people thought it was a remake, like a straight-up remake.
And the cast had to say that in, like, every interview that they did, that it was not a remake, it was something completely different.
Yeah, like, just give it a chance, people.
Honestly, when the first episode aired on the ABC Family and all those channels, and people were saying, oh, this isn't that bad, I was like, been trying to tell you that for a while. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
But yeah, Carlos is calling Miss Jen in the school while they're both in the school, which I, knowing Lauren, her family does that in their own house.
About the smallest things.
I was just on FaceTime with Lauren the other day, and she gets a call from her mom in the house.
Honestly, I don't know why that's weird to you. That's my whole life.
Because that definitely does not happen in my house.
That's so funny. Anyways, yes. Then they meet up in the hallway, and she's carrying her tiny box of
with her things.
Apparently everything in her office.
And she does tell Carlos that she flubbed a few things on her resume, and she probably will not be continuing the show with them.
Yeah, and but she asks him to keep it quiet and to trust the process.
That's always her line, trust the process.
I know. So much Jen.
That's such a big thing to put on a sophomore.
I know. Like, it's... I totally get why he was so stressed and, like, freaking out about it. Poor Carlos.
I know. This poor 16-year-old boy has over his head that his favorite teacher is probably going to get fired and he can't tell anyone.
And then he has to take... He has to run it like nothing's happening.
Yeah, she... He goes to rehearsal and they're getting ready to prep when there was me and you. And one of my favorite lines is, well, first of all, he tells all the boys to go on these pedestals and has Nene out there. And why is Chad in Gabriella's vision?
Yeah. And the two other guys. Why are there four guys?
No. Because he's talking about her being, like, falling out of love with Troy or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, so why is Chad on stage during this? I don't know. But one of my favorite lines of the entire episode is how snarky Carlos is whenever he says she's walking through a forest of boys. And Nene says, a forest of boys. And he goes, you know what a forest of trees is? And she says, yeah. And he goes, yeah, but with boys.
He's so snarky.
It's the sassiest comment.
He's so funny. And then I like how basically everyone is against this idea immediately, especially the girls.
Yeah, all the girls are pulling their feminist, no, maybe he should be walking through a forest of sisters.
Go off, Courtney. Right. And then Natalie's like, maybe she should chop down the trees.
Natalie is wearing a cheetah print fanny pack with this all black ensemble, and I'm like, go off.
Yeah, what a look. Oh, can we also talk about Gina's outfit during this? With that
sweater.
And those, like, patent red booties. Like, and I would never dress that nice for high school.
And Lauren, is wearing this, like, multicolored stripe pink burgundy. They were all looking really good at this rehearsal.
Yeah. Was this, like, picture day or something?
I wouldn't believe it. Ricky suggests an acoustic version of the song, and everybody just shoots him down except Gina.
Gina, like, pops up like a little gopher.
She says, I like that idea. But yeah, everybody...
Yeah, the questions get high, and Carlos immediately spills the beans.
Yeah, Carlos says, well, she's not here, and she might... ever never be back. And this is when everybody takes it out on Carlos, which don't take that out on him.
I know, this poor boy.
And so Nene leaves, and then everybody else leaves, and EJ wants to...
Yeah, I really like during that scene when they're all like kind of putting their two cents in, how the camera, I just noticed this, like, instead of cuts, it just like pans to each student.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that little camera work detail.
It feels like more of a documentary style that way than...
Yeah, it just feels more real than, like, typical cuts.
Mm-hmm. And we're in the hallway, and EJ is walking with Ashlyn, and he wants to go comfort Nene. And Ashlyn just tells it to him straight, and she says, I don't think you're the person she wants to talk to right now.
And she's right.
She is definitely right. When EJ finally gets to Nene, we pan back to the rehearsal room, and Gina tells Ricky that she liked his idea of the acoustic version, and she asks if she can hear it, and he starts playing for her, And then we pan back to EJ and Nini, and EJ just starts confessing literally everything.
Like, he's literally confessing his sins to Nini.
Everything he's done in his life, he's like, oh yeah, I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this.
And then, oh yeah, this.
Yeah, and Nini is just kind of standing there as if she's wondering, and the point of this is...
Yeah, I like when he goes, despite the 4.3 GPA, I'm actually an idiot.
Honey, I wrote down all caps. EJ has a 4.3 GPA, question mark.
He's perfect on paper, Ivy.
Ooh! you could say that, I guess. But I don't know how this boy's got a 4.3 GPA. I got a 4.08 something, I think.
He gotta keep his grades up for water polo.
But then we pan back to Ricky and Gina, and Ricky is singing When There Was Me and You acoustically, and here's a clip of it. I thought you were my fairy tale, my dream when I'm not sleeping, a wish upon a star that's coming true. But everybody else could tell that I confused my feelings with the truth when there was me and you. His voice in this song is amazing. Fits so well.
It's probably my favorite cover that they do from High School Musical.
I do really like this. And it's interesting because aside from Seb as Sharpay, it's the first, like, gender-bending cover that they do in this show.
Oh, you're right. And his voice fits it so well.
Yes. And Nini hears him in the hallway, and she starts going to walk back into the room, but then she sees...
She's smiling. She's smirking.
She is giving hard eyes when she sees him, but then she looks further into the room, and Gina is sitting there giving her hard eyes. Everybody yep. in this show got hard eyes for Ricky. All of them.
I don't blame any of them.
Oh, no. If a boy sang to me just, like, alone in a room like that when I was in high school...
It's over.
I'd be giving hard eyes, too. And then last thing that EJ confessed to Nini was that he wrote A Billion Sorries, and thank God he never sang it to her.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, like, for them to throw in after he kind of has this rant.
So after he confessed to her about A Billion Sorries, we go to the coffee shop that Nini and Courtney were at a few episodes back, and Miss Jen is job hunting.
In the newspaper.
She circles one for a sous chef. And Carlos meets up with her there, and she's basically apologizing for everything that she did, and she gives him her director's files.
Yeah, and kind of passes it on. And Carlos is like, oh my god, I can't take this, like, I can't direct the show. And then she's like, no, it's for your next drama teacher. Which is so sad.
I feel like that's even more sad than if she were to just tell Carlos to do it. She's like, I don't want you to do it, like, it's for whoever comes in to replace me.
I know, right? It's like, yeah, Miss Jen messed up, but I like the scene because you can tell that she really cares.
Yeah, and she says she hopes whoever comes in her place loves them as much as she does. And I feel so bad.
I know.
So everybody's at Big Red's because Ricky was talking and he was saying to Gina, well, what can we do? We can't do anything in a day because there's going to be a school board meeting with Miss Jen for them to finalize and decide what's going on with her. And Ricky says there's nothing they can do in a day. And Ricky's at Big Red's, and we find out that Big Red invited literally everyone.
Literally the whole cast and crew.
Yeah, it comes in with Caden comes in first, and he says he invited Steffi and Rico. And then Ashlyn comes, and Ricky says, how many people did you invite? And then literally everyone comes walking in after Ashlyn.
You hear, like, a million footsteps.
Yeah. I love the way they shot that too. It was just, they were like shooting the stairs with everyone's feet coming down. It wasn't all the people.
And then I like how right after that, it cuts to the next scene and it's just everyone sitting there in like complete silence.
Oh, and Natalie complains. She says, "This is a horrible party. There's not even pretzels."
She has the best one-liners, I swear.
I want her to be a series regular because I want to hear more of her opinions.
I know. I just love her take on everything.
I'm excited for season 3 because I feel like she'll be bumped to a series regular because she's a sophomore. So she'd be one of them that's still in the school and they would have to have like somebody else since EJ will be leaving.
Oh my gosh, I am praying for that. That'd be awesome.
I want her to be a series regular. But they're trying to find a way to keep Miss Jen's job. And
they're all, like, kind of divided at this point. Like, some of them are mad, some of them aren't. Some of them have, they all have different feelings.
Yeah, Carlos says he's mad at Miss Jen because she put the show, or no, Carlos says she's mad at Miss Jen for keeping everything from him and says that she's the first teacher that ever gave him a shot.
And, yeah, that's sweet.
And then Seb puts his little hand on Carlos's leg and just kind of rubs it. And I'm like, oh.
We love them.
And Ricky says he's mad at Miss Jen because she put the show in jeopardy. And the show, to some people, has become, and then he can't finish the sentence, but Nini's like starting to cry. And she says, like, a family. And I can't imagine.
She's like,
the
family?
Yeah, a family. And I can't imagine that this was their last scene they were filming. I'd be crying, too.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm proud of them for holding it in, because I would probably be a mess.
The second that Olivia says family, I would have been like...
I would have been like, God.
Also, side note, when Ricky's talking, we find Big Red has a disc golf basket on his mantle. And... Oh, fun fact, baby Ivy in like age 12, I played disc golf.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I tweeted a picture when this episode came out and it was funny because not a lot of girls played disc golf. I mean, not a lot of people do in general, but especially a lot of girls. So any tournaments that I would enter around here, I would always get trophies for, and I would just automatically win because I wasn't playing against anyone else.
I feel like, is that worse than just a participation trophy?
It's not participation, though. Like, it says first place, but there wasn't anybody else.
I know. I'm like saying, is that better or worse?
It's because my dad played, so I would go to tournaments with him, but I'd be the only one in my division. But yes, I saw Big Red's disc golf basket, and I feel like that's perfect because Big Red would definitely be one just to play, just obscure and plays disc golf.
That's so funny.
So the next day, they're getting ready for the board meeting, and Miss Jen is outside.
Oh, we forgot to talk about how after Nini says family, then Ricky goes, "What team?"
Oh, yeah. Ricky's bringing them all together.
Honestly, I know that was supposed to be, like, a really pivotal family moment, but I was like, ooh, cringe.
Yeah, I was a little, like, do we really got to do this right now?
But also, you know, it's in the moment. It's High School Musical, the musical, the series. Like, you cannot say that.
No, they've got to throw it in there at least once. Yeah, so the next day, we're getting ready for the trial, and Miss Jen is sitting outside, and Mike sees her sitting outside. Ricky's dad.
Mikey Bowen.
Mikey Bowen. And he goes up to her, Jennifer, and he's all excited because the cute girl that he saw at the bowling alley is at the school.
Yeah, and then it kind of clicks and they figure out who each other is. Like, Miss Jen figures out he's Ricky's dad, and he finds out that she's the drama teacher that the school board is, like, about to fire.
It's so awkward because she wasn't saying anything until the kids saw her outside and they said, good luck in there, Miss Jen. And he was like, oh.
He was like, oh.
So when we go into the board meeting, Principal Gutierrez is ripping her apart.
Why is he so dramatic at this point? He's acting like this is like a murder trial.
And when he said that all like people in the theater arts are insane.
Rude.
Honestly. But Mike stands up and asks if he can say something. And Gutierrez says it's not open to the public. But Nini's mom, she...
Miss Dana
stands up for Mike. She says, let him talk. And he says he's never seen Ricky as invested in anything as he is with this musical. And it would be a crime to fire a teacher that's doing such a good job.
That's a cute moment, because Ricky's, like, cheesing, and his dad is doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So why are the kids even at the board meeting? That's what I want to know.
Is that a thing? Or, like, does that happen?
Not at mine. It was only the board.
I think ours only allowed kids if they were asked to be there.
Oh, yeah, if they were, like, part of the situation or whatever it was for.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just, like... the kids chilling at this meeting.
No. But we hear a humming. And, oh my god, the little looks that Ricky and Nini give to each other before the song starts.
Oh my god, my heart. I wrote that down.
Oh!
It's just, it warms my heart.
She, like, points at him and he kind of smiles and points up at Courtney to start playing the music. I love that they still incorporated her after Dara had her injury.
I know, she's killing that boombox choreo.
She was bopping with that boombox up at the top. So they sing Truth, Justice, Songs in Our Key, which here's a clip.
Maybe her class could be a little more classy.
Maybe her head's not in the game.
Maybe her past is just a little bit sketchy.
We need her all the same.
I love the little one-liners in this song, the Dear Evan Hansen line.
Oh my god, I love how, because they say she never saw Dear Evan Hansen, and then they all gasp. I was like, that's the real crime in all of this.
And there's that little part in the middle of the song where everyone compared Ricky to Tom Holland, where he jumps up on that table.
Like, I am on board with that.
I mean, Josh gets compared to Tom Holland anyway, and then the way he hopped up on that table, he looked like little Spider-Man.
Yeah, I wrote down, like, little things about the choreo, because I didn't realize how much I liked the choreo during this song. It's like the little cute moves they did.
I really paid attention to it in this viewing, trying to write stuff down.
Yeah, I like that cute little Redland spin with Big Red and Ashlyn.
That was cute. About.
And of course, like, Gina's killing it every shot she's in.
Yes. When they started off with Ashlyn and Ricky back to back.
When they're harmonizing, that was a cute moment.
That was so cute. And everybody has the hashtag Save Miss Jen signs.
I know. Wow.
We should make merch. We should make hashtag Save Miss Jen merch.
#SaveMissJen.
And sell it.
Free Miss Jen.
Stay tuned, you all, for our merch site.
But yeah, I just love the choreo. The song is so, like, happy.
Okay, all y'all on TikTok using the hashtag #HSMTMTS, hating on Truth, Justice, Songs in Our Key. Get out of here.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. The people that do the little side-by-side, like, bop or flop, they always have this on the flop side. No.
Don't be rude.
No, it's not.
There's only one song that deserves to be on that flop side, and we all know what it is.
We all know what it is. But what I'm saying is this is the most theater kid song in the entire show.
Exactly.
This,
like,
sounds...
this, it can't get any more theater kid than this song.
No, this sounds the most like a Broadway production would have this song.
Yeah.
Because the other songs are more poppy songs, or they're just songs from High School Musical. This is a song that sounds like It is written by theater kids for theater kids.
Yeah, and they're saving their theater teacher people.
Yes. So this concludes the board meeting. Everybody's hugging.
And Dana, Nini's mom, does the slow clap. She stands up and does the slow clap.
Oh, we get a Redlin hug after the song. Ashlyn hugs Ricky, and Big Red hugs Ricky, and then they hug each other, and then they just sit there and talk for a little bit.
We love that. And then Nini witnesses a Genie Ricky hug.
Genie?
Mind you, a spin Genie? Hug.
Genie, the ship name?
Oh, Genie.
No, yeah, we get a pretty intense hug between Gina and Ricky.
Yeah, and Nini and EJ kind of see it, and they kind of share a little look. They're like, hmm.
Oh, that's so... Oh, because the camera pans to Nini seeing it, because obviously she's bothered that they're hugging, but then it pans to EJ looking at Nini looking at them.
God, what is this now, like a love square?
Something like that. Because there's the love triangle between Gina and the boys, but her thing with EJ is fake. But then there's the triangle with Nini and the boys. Yeah, it's like a square.
Oh my God, that's too much.
This love polygon. You know what?
We forgot to talk about Miss Martha Cox.
I was getting there.
Well, we skipped ahead.
Casey flipping Stroh. I'm not skipping over that. So Gutierrez asks if there's any more questions. And she says, I have one.
And she's like, what did she say? Where do I get tickets for opening night?
And then she pops and locks and jams and breaks.
That's like probably one of the most iconic moves from our childhood.
Honestly. And I want to know, is she... Casey Stroh in the show?
Because, what do you mean?
Because the movie is a movie in the show. Like, and they talk about Zac Efron in the show. So Casey Stroh would be Casey Stroh. Is she just on the school board?
Oh. God, why did you bring this up? Because now I'm so confused. I guess. She stayed behind in Utah. After filming.
Yeah, I guess she's not as big of a deal to them as the core cast members, but I feel like if everybody else is an actor in this show's world, then Casey Stroh would be still.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because none of them were, like, excited about that, that she was there.
Yeah, I feel like that was more for the audience.
Yeah. But we end the episode with Miss Jen and Mike talking, and Miss Jen is thanking Mike for what he said, and Ricky is watching this whole interaction.
So do you ship Mike and Miss Jen, or Miss Jen and Mr. Mizora?
I feel like we didn't see enough of Mike and Miss Jen for me to want it.
Yeah, because I feel like, well, obviously they're playing both relationships up a little.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, so I wonder how that will go down.
Well, and just especially because how weird would that be for Ricky?
I know, especially if it, like, didn't end well.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. What are your thoughts on this episode as a whole?
I liked it. I liked it more, I think, when I rewatched it for recording this podcast episode. I feel like I appreciated it more. Yeah. Like, it definitely wasn't my fave after my initial watch, but, I mean, Truth, Justice, and Songs in Our Key is a bop.
Yeah, I think when I watched it initially when it came out, I was still on such a high from Homecoming episode.
Oh.
I was like... Okay, like, this was good, but it's definitely not... I don't like it as much as the last one. But watching it cohesively with the rest of the episodes, I like it. Maybe not as much as Homecoming still, but I like it more than the first time I watched it.
Yeah. And it was definitely, like you said earlier, like a total theater kid moment. Definitely summed up there. And their relationship with Miss Jen, which was nice.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening this week.
Yes, if you would like, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both at Just For A Podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the episodes, about our podcast episodes, about the cast, anything. Just hit us up.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you all. This podcast is a podcast distributed on Anchor, which is a podcast app. You can distribute your podcast, make your podcast, and they'll put them anywhere for you, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you all would like to leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, that would help us out quite a bit. We actually have a new review this week.
What?
Yeah, it's... It's from Peachy Bih. It's titled, "We Stan, 5 out of 5 stars. Ivy and Lauren are so funny. They discuss parts of the show that most people would miss and bring up funny stories from their lives along the way. Definitely listen to this podcast if you're fans of HSMTMTS."
Oh my god, I love that.
Shout out to Peachy Bih.
We love Peachy Bih.
Yeah, so if you all want to leave us a rate and review, that'd be cool. But another cool thing you can do on Anchor is leave us a voice message. We'd love to hear that from y'all.
Yeah, we'll play it back on here and respond to you.
Yeah, we want to discuss your thoughts, hear what you got to say, talk a little bit. We need to get used to responding to other people because we may or may not be having people on here in the future.
Oh. Wink, wink. They can't see us winking.
You can't see us winking, but we're doing it.
But we were winking.
Thank y'all for listening to this week. So until we record Thanksgiving next week, don't be asking yourself what team. Just join our team. Just join our team. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Tweet us. DM us your thoughts. And thank you so much for listening, y'all. Bye.
Bye.